What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the Progressive Gentleman Podcast. My name is Dan, and I will be your host for this episode. Thank you for taking the time to nerd out about music with me. And you are hearing correctly, it is just me for this episode, and that is by design, because in talking with fans and sort of amongst ourselves, I think we all agree that, you know, it would be really nice for us to be able to put out content more frequently. Volume's been an issue for us, mostly because of our schedules. I mean, we both work full-time jobs that are pretty demanding jobs. And then on top of that, Matt is also a full-time student going for his master's degree, which is equally demanding of his time. So it's very difficult for us usually to come up with a time where we can get together virtually or otherwise to record episodes, which makes it difficult to sort of come up with a consistent release schedule, which I know sucks. And we agree probably just as much if or more, you know, than our listeners that it kind of sucks. We would love to be able to keep pumping episodes out because, one, we love to do this. It's one of the things that I feel like gives us a lot of, you know, joy and excitement. I mean, who wants to, you know, do homework, right? who wants to work after hours on work shit? Certainly not us, but unfortunately that's been our reality. So one of the things we tossed back and forth for a while really was, what if we come up with some sort of format or multiple formats where just one of us has to, you know, be available and can sit down and record an episode and be able to put that out there. And the reason why we haven't done it up until now is because it was pretty difficult for us to come up with a format that we felt was worthy of being an episode. You know, we don't necessarily want to flood the page with watered down content because I think that kind of defeats the purpose. I feel like a lot of the episodes, a lot of the formats that we've put out there, especially now that we've dabbled into the band interview space, has been well received and, you know, is valuable content where, you know, one of us jumping on a microphone for 30 minutes spewing some random shit might not be. So we don't, you know, we were looking at sort of quality over quantity. But recently we've been tossing around ideas and trying to come up with formats that would work. And one of the things that we came up with was our Gentleman 5 format, which was originally a real series. We were trying to come up with social media content for a while, things that would be, you know, cool to throw out there and just get some social media interaction. And one of the ones that did well was our Gentleman 5, which basically is just this infinite format where we come up with a topic and then pick our five favorite things in that topic, whether it's, you know, our five favorite hardcore bands or our top five prog metal albums or what, you know, the options are endless here. And we figured maybe that is something that could translate well into a podcast episode. And that's what I'm going to try today. So, you know, bear with me on this. I do kind of partially feel like I'm just talking to myself, which, while my wife might say is probably something that I do on a normal basis, I don't know how normal it is. So the topic that I chose for this episode, I think, is one that I did a reel on, but I don't actually remember. And I don't remember the records that I would have picked. So it's likely going to differ from that. I probably could have went and checked, but of course I didn't. And that is top five, like, deserted island records, the five records that I would want with me if I was stranded on a deserted island. I feel like that's a pretty cool topic, and a pretty difficult one, really. And some of these I'm going to pick on the fly because I took some notes because there are some bands that are pretty much staple bands for me that have multiple records where, you know, I go back and forth as to which one's my favorite. But I also thought about things like, you know, how nostalgic do I want to be? Or how, you know, recency bias do I want to be? And it made it pretty tough because, you know, I get on a lot of different random kicks for music. Most recently, I was on an 80s kick for a while, listening to bands like The Police, Heart, Toto, a lot of Prince, also some classic prog like Yes or Rush. You know, Moving Pictures by Rush is a huge record for me. Night at the Opera by Queen, some King Crimson, some Genesis, just some straight up Phil Collins here and there. Pink Floyd, you know, there's so much of that stuff that you could sit down and say, well, those are classic records. Why wouldn't you want one of those with you? And I feel like I inherited a lot of that stuff, you know, from my dad, from my uncle, whatever. Even like Audio Slave self-titled, like grunge phase for a little while, like that would be pretty huge for me. But I was like, what do I want to bring? What would I want with me on a deserted island if it was just this is all I got? So starting off, I feel like I had to pick sort of my favorite record. I often say that this record is my favorite record, period. Definitely my favorite prog metal record. If you've listened to the podcast, this is probably no surprise, but Altered State by Tesseract is just massive for me. So I feel like that's an easy, safe first record, first choice, because I don't know if I could go without listening to the Of Matter Suite on that record. Also, that also goes into Nocturne as well, which is an incredible, incredible song. But really, from front to back, that record is just flawless, in my opinion. And I understand it doesn't have Daniel Tompkins, and that might be controversial. I'm not saying that the Ash version of Tesseract was the best version of Tesseract, but that record is something special. And their new record is fantastic. Probably the closest they've come to replicating the magic that they had on Altered State. Also with a little bit of One mixed in there, because I did say when we reviewed that record that it's like the perfect blend of their sound on Altered State and their sound on One. But Altered State's just something special for me. So that's kind of an easy choice for me. So number one, Altered State by Tesseract. Then I started sort of bouncing around in my head. I feel like I need something nostalgic. And, you know, I could jump the whole way back to, again, I mentioned earlier, A Night at the Opera, Queen, or like Moving Pictures by Rush. Could even go like old school Opeth, like Blackwater Park. Again, with the grunge stuff, Audio Slave self-titled. But as I said as well, those are kind of things that I inherited or picked up from other people. And I love them, don't get me wrong. But there's one band in particular that kept coming back up when I think nostalgia. And I'm in my early 30s. And I feel like a lot of people in their early 30s who are listening to this probably will feel the same way about this band, or might even be thinking, okay, it's probably going to be this band. So I'm just going to spit it out. Linkin Park, right? You know, growing up in the area that I grew up in, most people that were my age, a lot of my friends and stuff, were big into, you know, rap, hip hop, R&B, stuff like that. And I certainly appreciate that music. But it was never sort of like me. That was never anything that I got real deep into. And then, like I've said many times, my dad, my uncles, very much rock fans. And Linkin Park sort of bridged that gap, which made it very interesting and sort of made it feel like something that was unique to me at that point. Like, I can still remember going into, I think it was like FYE or some early iteration of that at the mall, and buying that Hybrid Theory CD. Fun fact about that CD, by the way, or about the album cover, the album art, not the album cover, sorry, but like the band photo in either in the booklet or on the back, I forget. That was actually taken in Pittsburgh. which is where I'm from. So that is incredibly cool. I actually didn't find that out until later in life. I wish I knew that back then, because it probably would have made it even cooler for me. But that was the first record I ever bought with my own money, was Hybrid Theory, which makes it really special to me. So in my brain, I was like, so it's got to be Hybrid Theory, right? But then I remembered vividly sort of laying down at night with my Walkman, like CD player, the one with the shock resistance and the little shitty headphones that came with it. I'm sure people remember this. I guess like some of you younger listeners are probably like, I don't even know what you're talking about. But I still vividly remember laying in bed at night, listening to Meteora, listening to songs like Lying From You and Faint and Breaking the Habit. And so I actually started to lean Meteora, and ultimately that was my decision. I do think that that is the record I would want with me if I was on a deserted island. And actually my wife just recently got me the box set vinyl, the vinyl box set for Meteora, the anniversary edition. It's really sweet. I've been listening to that recently, and I think that might even be partially recency bias. So it's kind of a mix, right? Nostalgia and recency bias, but that record is just flawless. And it was only ever going to be one of those first two records, Hybrid Theory or Meteora, but I went Meteora. So that means Altered State by Tesseract and Meteora by Linkin Park. And now things start to get difficult, because there are a lot of bands that I listen to, as I started off this episode saying, that have multiple records that, like, even more than two records that I feel like, you know, are worthy of at least the conversation of being one of these records. And one of the biggest bands that, you know, was a struggle for me coming up with which record I would bring with me is Between the Buried and Me. I knew I had to have a BT BAM record. Such an influential band on me. One of the first sort of progressive metal bands that I remember listening to in high school. I remember a kid that I was in school with, Kevin Chambers, incredible guitarist, still an incredible guitarist, showed me them. Also showed me bands like Job for a Cowboy, things like that. But in a time where I was really predominantly listening to bands like From First to Last and Atreyu, and probably the heaviest band that I dove into at all was like Killswitch Engage back then, which I still love Killswitch Engage. But hearing Alaska, the track, not the record, but also the record, but the song Alaska was my first introduction to Between the Buried and Me. And I just that sweet picking intro is just something that I remember watching that music video over and over again, being like, how the hell do people do, like, how is this a thing? And went back and listened to songs like Mordecai, and then Selkies was obviously massive for me at that point. But Alaska, that record, will not be one that will be sort of debated here for me, because Colors is just an absolute masterpiece. And then Great Misdirect is an absolute masterpiece. And then Parallax 1 and 2, absolute masterpieces. Coma Ecliptic stands on its own as well, too. Really, so much of what they've done is just so iconic. But when it boiled down for me, it was between those three I just stated. And I'm sort of lumping Parallax into one, but that's probably not fair. So because of that, like, I feel like Parallax 1 and 2 as a collected work would probably win out, but I don't want to just take the EP, and I don't necessarily want to just take Parallax 2. So that put it to Colors versus The Great Misdirect. And I think personally, The Great Misdirect doesn't get enough recognition for how amazing that record is. Very often that is my favorite Between the Buried and Me record. And I usually get a lot of shit for that, because I feel like most people are always debating what's the better record, Colors or Parallax? But yeah, that's honestly frequently the debate for me, is Colors or Great Misdirect. Disease, Injury, Madness is just such an all-time Between the Bear and Me track. But so is Son of Nothing. You know, so is White Walls. And it's just really difficult to come up with which one do I want. But ultimately, I chose Colors. You know, Foam Born in a Decade of Statues is just such an epic way to open a record. Informal Gluttony, Son of Nothing, Ant of the Sky. I mean, there's not a bad track on this record. But I mean, neither there isn't on Great Misdirect either. So it is tough, but I'm sticking with it. So Colors is my choice. Son of Nothing, man, I think that was sort of the one that tipped it for me. The way that song sort of ends is just something that gives me chills. I remember seeing it live for the first time whenever I went to I don't know if it was the first time I ever saw Son of Nothing live, if that was at the Colors tour or not. Cause I've seen Between the Bear and Me going on, I think 20 times now live. And, I went to the Colors tour. I went to 3 shows on that tour. And that was always a highlight, you know, cut the lights out and just have that like ring of lights sort of whenever they get to the part where they're floating towards the sun, and just chills and the crowd chanting it. It was just, I have a video of that. I'm pretty sure I've posted it on the page before. Just an all time sort of live moment for me. And I didn't get to go see the Great Misdirect tour because when they were coming through my area was when COVID hit its peak, and that got canceled. It got rescheduled to a date that I could not attend, so that sucked. But because maybe there would have been an all-time moment for me in that show as well. But yeah, just thinking of that moment, just looking at this list of tracks, Colors is the definite choice. So that puts me at 3, and I'm limiting myself to 5. So Altered State by Tesseract, Meteora by Linkin Park for the nostalgia factor, Colors by Between the Buried and Me. I got to throw something Coheed in there, right? Because, I mean, I've mentioned Coheed and Cambria on every episode or almost every episode of the podcast at this point, so I feel like it has to happen, right? That's one of my favorite bands of all time. I got the Keywork tattoo, got the Dragonfly tattoo. I am one of those people. a child of the fence, so to speak. And while, you know, they haven't been a band recently putting out albums that I feel like are just massive works of art, the Vaxxas series has been pretty good. You know, and some of that stuff has been some of their best music to date. Dark Sentencer, was a pretty awesome song, especially, you know, for someone who has sort of progressed a bit into just like proggy or heavier stuff. It was pretty cool to hear Coheed go that route a bit with Dark Sentencer, and then to hear a song like The Gutter, that, you know, is one of their proggiest songs, I feel like, that they've released in a long time, and gives you shades of Queen, but also shades of like Black Parade. You know, they are still putting out masterpieces, but none of their recent records would be in this conversation, because you go back to those original 3, some of the best, you know, post hardcore meets progressive rock, whatever you want to categorize them as. I know a lot of people would throw emo into the mix. I hate that. I am one of the people that cringes when they hear Coheed referred to as emo. I know there is an argument in both directions. You know, emo is usually emotional lyrics, but it's interesting because all Coheed lyrics are written sort of in a concept, right? Which is such a prog thing to do. And I understand the singer was using that concept to sort of mask his true emotions and his real life feelings and whatever. So I get that argument, but I look at it as it is a like sci-fi prog rock type project. It's difficult for me to classify that as emo. So I would be a guy that would fight back against that, but we'll just throw that out there. So, you know, post-hardcore meets prog rock meets cringing emo. On those first three records, it's just, they're just tough to beat. Second Stage is a masterpiece, such a raw record, but I think that's part of what I love about it. And then In Keeping Secrets is just next level. I think that's a step up from Second Stage. I know there's a lot of people who say, you know, they've never gotten better than Second Stage, but I think those first three records sort of step up each time. So Second Stage, incredible. In Keeping Secrets, just a little bit better. Good Apollo 1, just a little bit better. So my favorite Coheed record is Good Apollo 1. I think it's their proggiest record. I think the Willing Well Suite is an absolute masterpiece suite of songs. And still to date, their best suite of songs, and maybe just their best songs that they've ever written. So for that reason, not only that reason, because, you know, people will say, oh, well, you like Welcome Home. You're a, you know, you're just a generic fan or whatever. There's a reason Welcome Home blew up. It's a fantastic song. It's well written. It's catchy. It's got that cool riff in the beginning that pulls people in. Yes, it has mainstream appeal, but why does that make it not as good of a song? So Welcome Home, an all-time Coheed track. But really, the meat and potatoes of this record is the Willing Well Suite. So, you know, Fuel for the Feeding End, Fear Through the Eyes of Madness. They bring back, you know, that Apollo 1 riff and into Willing Well 3, Apollo 2, Telling Truth. That song is incredible. The final cut, the dueling solos at the end. I mean, how can you beat that stuff? So, no brainer. Good Apollo 1 would be my fourth record. Which puts me at Altered State by Tesseract, Meteora by Linkin Park, Good Apollo 1 by Coheed, Colors by BT Bam, and coming up with just picking one more is really, really difficult, because there is a record that was released last year that I probably spent the majority of my time since it was released listening to. It's songs from this record are in pretty much all of my recent playlists. And when the Spotify Wrapped came out, it's funny because my wife and I share a Spotify account. I do pay for like the family thing or whatever the hell it's called, where it's like that splits it up. So she has her own stuff, but I do all the driving. We go on a lot of trips. We do a lot of traveling, and pretty much every trip we go on, for at least half of it, we're listening to some Taylor Swift playlist. My wife is a huge Swiftie. I respect her music as well. But when the Spotify Wrapped came out, I was like, for sure, every single one of my like top five songs is going to end up being a Taylor Swift song. Like, I just knew it. That was just my gut feeling. And because I listened to this other record so much, not a single song was a Taylor Swift song. All five songs were Sleep Token songs. And I understand that that probably makes me a pretty polarizing person, because I know that they're a polarizing band in the progressive music, progressive metal, whatever, progressive rock space. You know, I'm on Gent shitposting. I'm on these pages in, you know, on Facebook and on social media, I see the hate that this band gets. But as we sort of said in our album of the year episode, you know, that doesn't change the fact that what they're doing with music is next level and not really being replicated. I mean, to some extent by some other bands, it's being replicated, but clearly not to the same extent as what they're doing, because these guys are selling out shows for like Wembley Stadium, and these guys are doing like mini arena tours around the US right now and selling that shit out. You're waiting in queues online to buy their tickets if you want them. It's as close to Taylor Swift, I suppose, as we're going to get in this scene. So seeing a band do that, they're clearly doing something right. And I vibe so heavily with that record. It's such a cool blend of, you know, pop styles and, you know, R&B hip hop styles, and then still progressive metal, metalcore styles. Like the fact that you can blend all of that so seamlessly into one collected work masterpiece really makes it really difficult for me not to pick Take Me Back to Eden. But there's another band that's been massive for me, and probably for longer, not probably, definitely for longer. And that's Delta Sleep. I've said many times, I lean very heavily prog rock these days, modern prog rock especially. And Delta Sleep kind of blends that like prog rock meets math, you know, math rock. Those fandoms and their styles are usually, there's usually a lot of crossover there. But really, Delta Sleep is the first band that has sort of, like, this is a band that's had, like, I've never felt like this about a band. I haven't felt like this about a band since Coheed, since I first started getting into Coheed. That's how I feel about Delta Sleep right now, which is what makes me know that they're special to me personally, because, like I said, I got the Dragonfly tattoo, and I have the Keywork tattoo, and I have Coheed lyrics tattooed on my body. So the fact that I'm getting those similar feelings about a band, you know, I know that they're sort of standing the test of time for me. But then this put me into another predicament. Well, which Delta Sleep record? Because Twin Galaxies has my favorite song. Camp Adventure is an incredible song. Ghost City was sort of the record that I discovered Delta Sleep on. So that also has some like sentimental value to me. But then most recently they released a record called Spring Island that might be their best record and might be my favorite record. I think it has probably the most consistent, like consistency for me. Like I can listen to that record from start to finish. There's not really a song that I would want to skip. And The Softest Touch and Hotel 24 are two of my favorite Delta Sleep songs. Jeez. But sorry, I've been talking a lot here. This is weird talking to myself like this. Softest Touch, Hotel 24, massive songs. The Detail is incredible. View to a Fill, Old Soul really grew on me. That was a song originally when that first came out as a single. I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna like this, but that grew on me like crazy. So I think ultimately the track that I would choose in this scenario, or not the track, the record, would be Spring Island. I think that has the most replay value for me, because if I brought Twin Galaxies, that would give me the opportunity to listen to Camp Adventure on repeat. Also Spy Dolphin, incredible song. Strong Thinny, great song. Lake Sprinkle Sprinkle, great song. So there's a lot of good songs on that record. I would ultimately end up just listening to Camp Adventure a lot. But I feel like even Forest Fire on Spring Island, just that sort of slow building, and then they bring that theme back in Softest Touch. Like I just really like what they did on Spring Island as far as how the album progresses and flows. So Spring Island, I think, has the most replay value. So that is ultimately the record I chose. I chose that over Take Me Back to Eden. I also had other albums written down, like Messengers and Constellations from August Burns Red. I had a couple Killswitch records written down. I mean, there's just so much. I had a Darkest Hour record written down. Again, I had that Queen record, A Night at the Opera, because who doesn't want to listen to Bohemian Rhapsody every once in a while? Moving Pictures by Rush. I mean, there's just so much incredible music, and it sucks to be limited to just five. But I feel like me right now, if I was stranded on a deserted island right now, Altered State by Tesseract, Meteora by Linkin Park for a little bit of nostalgia, Colors by BT Bam just because it's an absolute masterpiece, Good Apollo 1 by Coheed because it's an absolute masterpiece, and Spring Island by Delta Sleep because it's an absolute masterpiece and it's kind of my favorite band right now. So I got sort of three decades worth of my favorite bands into the mix, and then tossed in Altered State by Tesseract, which is one of my favorite records of all time, and Colors by BT Bam, which they've been like a top three band of mine probably across two of those decades. So I feel pretty good about this list. And I know there's probably people who would disagree with the choices I made from some of these bands. Like, I know if someone's like, oh, you're taking a Coheed record, why aren't you taking Second Stage? Or you're taking a Between the Buried and Me record, why aren't you taking Parallax? Or The Great Misdirect, if you're cultured. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I feel pretty good about this. Let me know what you think about my list. Also, let us know what you think about this format. It does feel a little weird on my end, sort of talking to no one. But I also, it was kind of cool. I mean, it was cool sort of sitting down and thinking about this stuff and like thinking about it out loud in a way. Like I said, a lot of these, three of these records, I kind of made the choice on the fly. I had a bunch of records written down and just, I didn't want this to sound too scripted. So I was like, I'm going to make some of these decisions on the fly. I always knew Altered State was going to be on this list. And I also had Meteora circled as this is going to be on this list. But the other three, it was kind of a game time decision. So hopefully it didn't sound too scripted, because it certainly wasn't. I just have one little sheet of notebook paper. And hopefully this was worth sort of your time. Again, it was a lot of fun for me. We definitely would like some feedback. Also, keep an eye out, as Matt is also going to do this exact Gentleman Five, but he's also going to have some other ones. You know, we're going to sort of go back and forth and separate them out a little bit, so that there's a little bit of distance between, you know, my deserted island five and his, and then we'll have some other topics as well in this Gentleman Five format. And we are also not going to stop with our usual episodes. So you'll still be seeing some general transmissions with the both of us. You'll still be seeing more band interviews. We have probably four or five bands right now that we're in discussions with for getting on the podcast. Some pretty exciting ones. You know, we've had an opportunity to interview some really cool bands already. We want to just keep that moving. So you'll still see some more band interviews with both of us, obviously. All of the regular stuff, the Hidden Gems, the Hidden Gems, the artist spotlight stuff. I know we have some of that stuff in the works. Thanks to everybody who responded to our question on Instagram as well. A lot of good suggestions, some that we were already thinking of. So it sort of just solidified, okay, we're going to do these. And we have some other exciting things sort of in the works as well. Maybe expanding a little bit into some other areas that we've not expanded into before. So a lot of exciting stuff. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. And we will definitely have more coming soon. So hopefully this format works out and we can keep pumping out some more content for you guys. But until next time, thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.